Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Jeff Haldeman, longtime reporter here at the News Tribune. Jeff covers police, courts, fire, all natural disasters, public safety issues. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. Well, today, one of the things that's come up in Jeff's beat that we've talked a lot about is the Missouri Public Defender System. For several years, the Missouri Public Defender System has said there's a dire need to hire more lawyers. In this year's State of the Judiciary, Chief Justice George Draper III said the court system, quote, simply does not work without a sufficiently funded and staffed public defender system. Jeff, why does this system exist, and how did it come into being?
Well, looking back to some of the notes from our late and great colleague, the Bulldog, Robert Watson, some of his background material that I used on one of my stories, he noted that the public defender system started in 1972, and it was in response to the 1965 Supreme Court ruling which found that the federal Constitution's Sixth Amendment right to counsel includes poor people who cannot afford their own attorney. So here in Missouri, the public defender's office is appointed to a criminal case only when there is a possibility of jail or prison and the defendant can't pay or hire a lawyer. And historically, the system's attorneys have had a large caseload and constant turnover, and that has been well documented, I would say, probably since, 2013, 2014 was when we really started to see more push, if you will, from the state public defender system, trying to get the attention of the folks over at the Capitol. Well, even before that, I know, but I mean, it seemed like there was even some more really targeted efforts to try and show we need help. I know in one of the last stories that I wrote, I think a few weeks ago, the state public defender, Mary Fox, was talking with the Cole County Commission and mentioned the fact that right now, which, well, this would have been 2 weeks ago, I believe, they would be needing $3 million to take care of the cases that they currently have on file with the state public defender's office across the state.
Right. That's a sizable amount of money there. So the problem that exists is that there's not enough public defenders to handle all the cases that require a public defender, thus creating a wait list. So how big and how long is that wait list in the state?
You know, I'm not sure about the total state. I was trying to look at, we've had some discussions locally how long that wait list is. And since December, generally, when talking with the head of the local public defender office, Justin Carver, it's been anywhere from 4 to 6 months. And I think the last mark that I had from them was at the beginning of this month, roughly 317 cases was on the wait list just for Cole County. And mentioned back in Justin's office, they not only serve Cole County, but they also serve Miller and Manitowoc counties. So, you know, just add on to that, you know, so you can only imagine what those numbers are. They may not be as big as us, but nonetheless, still.
So let's back up a minute. The public defender system that represents this area, it's not just Cole County.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So what areas does it serve?
Manitowoc and Miller counties. It has at times, I think, not that long ago, had served Osage County, but I think they switched it to Miller because of, some issues with being able to represent perhaps that area closer and better.
Yeah. So obviously the Constitution is built upon the idea of your right to a speedy trial.
Yes. So
how long does it take for a criminal case typically to get through the local circuit?
I've heard that they normally base that on 90 days.
90 days?
90 days. And I guess this, and I don't think they're necessarily including the public defender. I mean, it's just a normal case.
Right.
90 days to get it through. You have to, of course, you're arraigned. possibility of preliminary hearing or waive the preliminary hearing. Obviously, the seriousness of a charge. But overall, I say it's 90 days is what they say is the average time.
Right. So to me, the problem with that wait list is, first of all, you've got someone who's been charged, potentially facing 4 to 6 months either in jail or this cloud over them that may, they may not be able to work because they've been charged and the case has not been adjudicated. So that's a sizable amount of time that, that affects primarily the poorer portion of our population.
Right. And one of the things that at least locally we've been trying to do to kind of ease that issue of, well, the possibility of having a debtor's prison, if you will, would be the pretrial coordinators and that program that was started in 2013 here in Cole County based on a project that was done and is continuing to be done in Greene County. That's where, you know, the pretrial program has assessments done of people that are going through, you know, the judicial process, and helps hopefully judges to determine which defendants could be bonded out and supervised rather than just sit there in jail,
right?
And you know, and as you said, lose a job, lose their family, things like that. You also have the alternative courts,
right,
which they really have been pushing for, veterans, DWI, those sort of things.
So let's kind of talk about that for a minute. So let's, because everyone may not be familiar with what an alternative court is. So what qualifies someone for an alternative court, and what does it mean?
Well, in those cases, I mean, if they've gone through, if, say, well, pretrial or even probation and parole has indicated on their sentencing assessment that they're low risks, they don't have a long or any criminal background, perhaps it's a first-time offense, especially with DWI, I think they really try to see if they can't get them into that system to avoid repeating over and over, because we have seen many cases late, you know, 6 to 7 times where someone has been pulled over for DWI. Veterans in particular has been one that has come up here within the last 3 or 4 years, with so many coming back from service, multiple rounds of service, and they also face issues with PTSD and other mental health challenges. If there was a belief that if you have a veterans court that can kind of, they may get into trouble, but they can also get some of those treatments and perhaps, you know, be led away from any criminal activity.
Yeah, kind of breaks the cycle there through treatment, through really one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just pushing them through a judicial system there. It's trying to help get them back on a solid foundation.
Correct. I mean, there's, you know, they even work to make sure that they get employment. If they do need family counseling, you know, that sort of thing, that's also included. Yes.
Yeah. So are there any other solutions out there from a statewide standpoint? We're going to talk here in a moment about some local projects that may be going on. But from a state standpoint, are there any other means to try to reduce this wait list and be more effective?
From what the public defender, Ms. Fox, the state public defender, was talking about when she met, was part of a group that met last week that I attended a meeting on, didn't sound like it. I mean, they said they continue to lobby at the Capitol for more help, more funds. They were not included for more funds in the governor's budget to possibly hire more people. It seems like the solutions that we're hearing about are more and more on the local level and not on the state level. I think the state level closest thing would be perhaps the closing of one state prison, or, you know, state prison, the closing maybe or reduction of bed space at some other prisons, one of them being Algoa. That's as close as I could see as any statewide, you know, you know, trying to get any type of solution. Now, the state would say, we're obviously providing funds and doing the that sort of thing for various programs. And I right. see that. But as far as initiatives, programs, it's on the local level.
Yeah, and most of those funds from the reductions at Algoa, Tipton, et cetera, the reduction in the housing units, the yes. use of the housing units, that money's going back into corrections. That's
correct.
Not really addressing
no.
the public defender system or
no.
the judicial system.
No, sir.
So, okay, so you spotlighted there was a some efforts going on locally. About a week ago, mm-hmm. A more local solution was put forward at the Cole County Commission. In essence, the county would help hire outside attorneys to help the local public defender system. How much money would we be talking about, and what was the reception from the area judges, law enforcement, and legal community to this idea?
Actually, this was an idea apparently that had been looked at by our sheriff here, John Wheeler, who brought it to the attention of Judge John Beatham. This here seems to have got some support from from the judges, and the commission seems to be favorable to go ahead and look at it. It basically would provide funding to engage private attorneys to represent indigent defendants that are charged with a criminal offense, and the state public defender office would agree to provide funding for the same purpose as its budget allows to match what the county funds. Now, I'm not sure what I want to say it might have been $25,000 or even $50,000 down there, but what is being proposed that Judge Beatham brought forth to the Cole County Commission was that the county contribute $10,000 before July 1st. That's the start of the fiscal year for the state. And then after July 1st, they would come back and ask the county to contribute another $15,000. Split okay. it up because, again, it's the fiscal year, that sort of thing. But the judge believes, that would increase the chance for the state public defender's office to match the funding that the county is chipping in.
Okay, so if I'm following you here, the idea behind it is it's a benefit to the county because if it's a match, much like a MoDOT road match, where the county, mm-hmm. the state, and maybe even the city pitch in money for a project,
right.
each carry a varying portion of the burden of the bill. In this instance, you've got the county picking up a portion of someone who's charged his legal fee. The state public defender would pick up the other portion of the fee. The benefit to the county is less wait time where they would potentially be in the jail.
Right.
Creating basically a more manageable jail population.
Correct.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I believe the figure that the judge said they could take care of as far as cases would be 66 approximately. Doesn't sound like a lot necessarily, but again, as of the time I was reporting this, I think it was 317 cases that
right.
were on, you know, so.
It's a nice chunk.
It's a nice
chunk. It's a good start
yeah.
to see what effect it would have.
As I quoted Commissioner Helscher in this story, and I think it summed up how they feel, they believe it is a state problem, but at the same time, if they don't help themselves,
right.
the burden is back on them anyway.
Right.
So they've got to try something.
Right.
So and they all agree that the issue right now, they feel like they have as many alternative courts that they can do. The folks with the pretrial are doing as much as they can do. And as a matter of fact, because of some personnel issues, they've had to cut back on how many they can supervise in that program.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's an issue right now with how many people can be represented by the public defenders, and they're getting backed up because of that. I'll refer you to something that I wrote back at near the end of the year, and that was about the fact that there was a meeting of the judges here in the circuit to talk about how things were going to be going into the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they had talked about was the the wait list and all, and it was about the same amount, I think, at that time. But they know, and then, you know, they were looking, well, what alternatives do we have? And I believe in the past, judges had actually appointed private attorneys, and also had even used attorneys from other state agencies, lawyers that represented, say, the Public Service Commission or other entities. By law, they can do that.
Right. So, well, I recall a few years ago, Governor Jay Nixon, an attorney, was somewhat of a political move, perhaps, was threatened with basically his name is going to be added to the public defender list while a sitting governor.
Right.
So that's certainly a possibility, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are alternatives out there. It's not necessarily what, you know, you want to do, but... And how you know, effective could it be is sort of questionable. But, I mean, the judges, when you're a judge, you do have an awful lot of power.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I think the judges here in this circuit have been trying everything they possibly can because they know, you know, in 2013, even though it only been open for, two or three years at the time, a new jail for us, we were really... busting at the seams.
Clearly, that those alternative courts pretrial coordination has had an effect, because that has not been nearly discussed as it was, as you pointed out, 5 years ago.
Exactly. Right now, things are fluid, I guess, if you will, due to you know, issues regarding the coronavirus. But it seems, though, that the commission is in favor of this proposal. They still have to formally vote to approve the money to have it go forward.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Jeff, and joining us here on News Tribune on Tap.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on Tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.